You can have darkness and still have some kind of knowledge.
Mm.
But Jesus, if it's not coming from God, he said that's dark, you know. And so we want to be able to see. I mean, to have the power to live right. Because Jesus would heal these people, but he would heal them physically. But he wanted them to understand your soul. Jesus said, I come, the sickest who need the physician. I didn't come for like the people who feel that they already whole. And he was talking about sin. So, I mean, where they benefited physically, he wanted them to see that life is more than raiment, life is more than food, life is more than that. It's the spirit, man. Don't fear the one who can destroy the body, but you fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. And we got to be able to see.
And I think it's interesting that the Lord would go around healing people, whoever he chose to heal, and some of them would, like these guys did, follow him, become disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And another one in particular run off to the temple and told on him.
They're the one he told to shut up. I mean, out of tail.
Don't tell. And man, he was right off telling.
Unwise deal.
I think it's interesting that a lot of times the opposition came from the very ones that's supposed to be with Christ, the ones that's supposed to be following him. You know, you got people from the outside wanting to come for some sort of blessing or healing, but it's like the church folk, seemingly, the ones that are supposed to be his elect, want it all for themselves. You know, don't heal nobody else. You know, don't bless anybody else. It's almost like you ours. And sometimes it's that way within a church group or a congregation. You know, it's just us. This is our thing. And we don't want to let anybody come in and be a part of what we're a part of. We don't want to share our version. You know, or if you want to be saved, you got to do it the way we tell you. And you can only get so close to the pastor. You got to come through all these channels and various steps or whatever. And if we want you to be blessed, then you understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Then almost like you got to make an appointment for your healing.
Right.
Right.
I went to a church like that before. You had to get an appointment to see the pastor. And there are some churches where they have bodyguards, and I think if you're a $1,000 donator, you can get to see the pastor.
Wow.
Yep. So Reach Lee and I, we'll just get in the truck and we'll just go. We just get a Saturday and just go. I'm not paying Reach Lee $1,000 to get to hang out with him. I'm not going to. I got a wife. I just go talk to her. She's my best friend anyway. But let's look at this again. We are through with this, but let's just make sure we got to get up the fragments, okay? The fragments. The men that were working for a day, they got paid, one part. Another part, Jesus is saying he's going to be crucified. Then John's and James' mother came, let our sons on the left hand and the right hand. Then we have the part about who is really going to be great in the kingdom, and then we deal with the two blind men. In this passage right here, if this is the only passage that we would have, do you think that we could teach people how to please God? With just that little bit that Matthew presented.
I think we can make a stab at it, but one thing that's perplexing to me is, and I was thinking about this earlier, is when I contrast the Old Testament and even some of the things that we were talking about today, like you made the comment that, you know, we were Christians, were like the Muslims, would wipe a couple people out, you know.
Hey, it's sad different. That being recorded. let me say how I said it. That don't matter. The way I said that was is that people are afraid of Muslims,
right,
and a lot of things they won't say in the way they won't mistreat them. And if we Christians, if God was allow us to be like them and blow up stuff, they would treat us differently. Because right. in certain schools, what they I didn't say this part, certain schools, they're teaching how to be a Muslim. Yeah. They let Islam be taught in school, where they want to throw everything out. They have to do with the Bible and Judeo-Christian ethic. And so what happens is the Muslims are now getting to the place where they're speaking against evolution. I got one right now that speaks against it. And said, so that's why our people do terrorists. Did you see him? No. That's on the one that I got. This guy, he's from Turkey. He said, this is why our people, some of our fanatical people that I speak against, they attack you all because we send our kids over here to get an education, and you start teaching them that, teaching them that Allah is not God, telling them we come from apes, etc., and all of this. And when they come back home, you've taught them this materialism and this evolution, and we call you all the great Satan. And that's why we feel you all need to be destroyed.
Okay. I'm trying to get it back to the context, but the mindset of the disciples, you know, of that of not really fully understanding who Jesus was and what he was about, and they're walking with him, and he's constantly having to tell them over and over again, you know, that the greatest is the one that's the servant. And you contrast that, like what I'm reading in Numbers right now, where they're getting ready to go into the promised land. You know, it's like, buckle up your sword. You know, count the people that are 20 years old and upward, because you're getting ready to fight. You know, and I started looking at those lessons there, and I'm wondering, you know, what is God teaching with this, and like with your question, can we take this passage and teach him about God if this is all we had? You know, and I'm a bit perplexed. I think it fits in here. I mean, it's like God has one overall message from Genesis to Revelation, but I'm like, I guess I'll say it like this. I'm like the apostles. Sometimes it's hard for me to see. It's like I might be like one like Peter, wanting to grab my sword and cut somebody's ear off or whatever, you know.
James, I see your hand. We'll see in Numbers when they get ready to go take the land. They're doing a punitive job for God because the iniquity of the Amorite is full, and they have done all of the wickedness. They've killed babies. They've practiced bestiality, sodomy. They've served other gods, and God's going to expel them from the land and give the land to his son Abraham and the ones he has just adopted, Israel. Remember, he adopted them. He told Pharaoh, Israel is my first son. Let my son go, else I'll kill your firstborn. So when they go in there to fight to defeat the enemies of the Lord and execute judgment, that's so that a righteous nation can be there. Our parallel is that we don't go and fight and kill people. But Paul said we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We fight the flesh. We fight this worldly system. We fight anything that will keep us from doing God's will. And in doing God's will, we're fighting. And what we're doing is similar to they went into Canaan to establish a place for God to dwell. But they were using God's power to do it. We fight the world, the sin, the devil, our flesh, and the sociological things and tenets of this world, so that God's righteousness will be established in the earth. And each one of us represent a little piece of earth. We're dust, right? So if I can establish God in me through God's power, through his help and strength, Gary, Laurel, Andy, Daddy, then what we do is we become the light of the world. So the fight is real, but now we're not using a sword. We're using the sword of the Spirit. Now we're not hitting people upside the head and killing them. We're using arguments. We're using scripture. We're using reason. We're using a lifestyle. But some people will tell you you're not supposed to argue the Bible. But Paul argued it all the time. Andy reads a lot of Greek. Paul would always go in there and reason. Read, look at the word reason. He would debate with them the scriptures. And he would confound them in the scriptures. And when he'd get through, they'd want to kill him. It's like, we can't win an argument, but you're a little man. You don't look like much. It don't take one time. You could tell how Paul little Paul was. They had picked, wasn't it Paul? They had picked up and almost tore him apart. Yeah. Or was that the other guy?
He's a little man with glasses on.
I mean, and he couldn't see well. I think what happened is the light blind messed him up when he blind, but I can't prove that. But that's how rich. That's their part. But I was thinking that how would we, could you teach somebody? You could not teach them the death, burial, and resurrection in this. You really couldn't. But if you want to teach a person about God and you did not have the death, burial, and resurrection, you could teach that person how to live. You could teach them that there was a kingdom of God. And in teaching them the kingdom of God, if you didn't have the chapter and verse, you could tell them who God was. If you knew enough about the scripture, you could tell them that there was a time when God was over mankind, and that was called the kingdom of God. But the men did not want God to be their king anymore, and they got a man named Saul. And you literally could go through the scripture in explaining the kingdom of God, so by the time that they get to understand what the kingdom of God is, you could help them understand what the importance of that was. When you get to the son of David, you could actually show them that the son of David was actually a man after God's own heart who would sit on his throne forever, and understanding who the son of David was, you could teach them about Jesus. And in that same passage, he said he was going to have to die and go to Jerusalem and be crucified. You could teach a person the gospel in here. He might not know a whole lot, but he would have enough, I think, in this 20th chapter. If you knew enough, you know what I'm saying, other stuff, if you didn't have your Bible, I'm saying, that you could teach them. If this is only, you know, because when your Bible, what they call those guys, they have fragments. They're historians, but they have the manuscripts. I forget what that's called. They're not scribes, but the guys that do the archaeological finding, they find these fragments of this, and so they give them a number. What's that, Barry? It may be, the paleontology is the fossils dealing with the bones. But anyway, whatever they are, the archaeologists have, but it's a certain thing they call the fragments. Suffice it to say, the people that study the historical writings and have them, the fragments, they'll only have pieces of Mark sometimes. They'll have pieces of Isaiah sometimes. They may have pieces of John. If this is the only piece that we had, this 20th chapter, with what we already know about God, we should be able to teach people about God and how to live. We can show them that we're equal. The greatest is supposed to be the servant. And it's all about Jesus. If he didn't die, if he wasn't raised, there would be no forgiveness. And that in his kingdom, he has the ability not only to lead and teach how to lead, but to open the eyes of the blind. That's just what I was, that's what went through my mind. Anybody else before I close it? 5, 4, 3, 2, you guess again?
Oh, no, I'm just going to blast off, you know.
Thanks.